And you break it down, in chapter 2, we saw in the first verse, it said, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And verse 3 said, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he gave him a comparison here, or an analogy of the Christian life. In verse 4, he said, No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And again, that person, or that who chose him to be a soldier, was God himself. You know, it's the God that draws us to his Spirit. God uses people to do that as well. Everyone who is born again as a Christian, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And as you walk on the face of this earth, God wants to use you to help others see him. And again, that is the purpose that we're here. And we see that as we drop on down and continued on, we saw in verse 15 where he talked about studying, with a study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so that's part of this, is that we would know what the word of God says. That means we need to be in it, to be studying it. Not only study it, but then practice it. You know, it's one thing to just study. A lot of kids today go to college and they study. That's what they call it. I don't know what they're doing, but and they come away with a lot of things that they'll never remember because they don't put it in application. I don't know about you, but as I went to school years ago, as I learned a lot of things, different subjects and stuff, and because I'm not applying those today, I've lost those. And it's easy to do. So if we're not applying what the Word of God says in our lives, it'll be easy for us to lose it. In fact, many times Paul, he tells us that he is putting these things in our remembrance, because he knows even as we're practicing the Christian life, we will forget along the way, and different things that are in our life. But so he said, he told Timothy to study to show himself approved. He also talked about being settled on the Word of God. In other words, understanding what the Word of God is. In verse 19, it says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so we want to learn and become settled on the things of God, understand what his word means, and how it's used and the purpose of it. And then in verse 20, he starts a comparison there, and he talks in verse he says, But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Again, reminding us of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about our foundation being Jesus Christ, and what we build on that foundation, we have a choice. We can do wood, hay, and stubble, or we can do precious stones, gold, and silver. Here, there are vessels to honor and there are vessels to dishonor, and we again get to choose that. Even as Christians, saved, born-again believers, we still have to make decisions based on that. And it's really talking about being sanctified or set apart to God. And that's what God wants from each one of our lives, and he works with us continually to do that. And again, we know, I hate to keep saying this, but the fact is we'll never be that perfect Christian that God is calling us to be until we see him face to face. And I think because we say that so many times or think about that, then we kind of just throw in the towel and say, well, it's going to happen when it happens. But that's not God's plan for our life. God's plans for our life today is to continue to be perfected. And how do we do that? By the washing or cleansing of the Word of God. And to be in the Word of God, to know what it says, and to practice that so we can grow closer to him, because we are predestinated to be conformed to his image. So he comes on down. And he gives us a list. In verse 21, he says, If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And really, what he's talking about here is, if we purge ourselves from the things of the world and the things that do not please God, really putting on those things that add to godliness and holiness, then we will be that vessel of honor. And he starts off in verse 22. He says, Flee also youthful lust. And this word flee, it really means to just get away from or run. We remember Genesis 39, when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he had rule over Potiphar's house, nobody was higher than him than Potiphar himself. And Potiphar's wife came in, she tried to seduce Joseph. And Joseph said, should I commit sin against God? Now that's a paraphrase. And so she kept trying to tempt him, kept trying. And finally, he just took off. The Bible says he fled. And that's really what God wants us to learn and understand is that we are to flee sin. Get away from it. Just run as fast as you can. And when you do that, we're taught in James to draw nigh unto God, and then He'll draw nigh unto us. He'll give us the strength and continue to help us to grow as we continue to walk with Him. But then He comes down and He says, follow. And I'm going to camp here probably just for a few minutes in a little bit. Okay. But first He says, He talks about follow righteousness. He says, flee also youthful lust in verse 22, but follow righteousness. So He's talking about where to follow. That is that we are to take Christ's example and to follow it. And Jesus is our example, and He taught us that. He taught His disciples that when He was on this earth, that the fact is He knows His children because they follow Him. And so He taught us that that's what we're to do. And as we're growing in this grace and we're trying to learn what it means to really follow Jesus Christ, which comes through the Word of God, the teachings of Scripture, it's going to teach us that we're going to be conformed to His image. We're going to grow and become more like Him and less of what we are by nature. And often our nature is our worst enemy because we want what we want when we want it. And it happens many times. We feel like we can justify those things too. We can make excuses for anything. But as you study the Bible, and you especially study the Old Testament, the same God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, He gives us grace, but there does come a point where He says enough's enough. You're either going to believe Him and do what He says or not. And we see so many examples of that throughout the Scripture that it's something, a lesson that we ought to learn. And as we get closer to the things of God and are desiring God, thirsting after and hungering after righteousness, and just want to be used of God, these things will become evident in our lives. And so He says, follow righteousness. And this is a big, long Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's equity of character or act is what it means. When we accepted Christ, we obtained His righteousness. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, Paul writes, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so that's our righteousness right there. Now, that doesn't mean that we can live, again, like the world and claim Christ righteous. Yes, we have that, but He wants us to practice that righteousness. He wants our character to change and to be that which is holy or more like Him. In other words, it's God's way, and God's way is being innocent or holy. So then He says, so follow righteousness, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. But let's go to the next one, faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us the definition of faith, and we go there often. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I broke those words down just trying to look at this a little bit. Faith is the Greek word that means persuasion. That's your persuasion, is your faith. What do you believe in? What persuades you, or what leads you, or what guides you? What's your persuasion? Substance says, now faith is a substance. That's another Greek word that means setting under or confidence. Where's your confidence? What do you have confidence in? Sometimes we have confidence in ourselves, do we not? I know I have many, many times, and I've realized, especially through the last 4 years, that you really can't have too much confidence in yourself, because yourself doesn't hold up always. It tends to wear out, or things happen in your life that you can't do what you used to do. And so everybody, especially us older folks, would say amen to that. We've been there, done that, and still struggling through it. And maybe some younger folks haven't experienced that. But then he says, things hoped for. And what this really gives a sense of, to expect or confide. Hope for, to expect. What do you hope for? You know, the Bible teaches us to ask, and ye shall receive, right? Well, when we ask, how are we asking? We don't ask amiss. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask in His will, and His will is what He wants to accomplish, not what we want accomplished, right? And so, again, we can have confidence, or we can expect God to do something. And then the word evidence is from another Greek word. It gives a sense of proof or conviction. Proof or conviction. In other words, when we look at that verse, our persuasion is the confidence to expect and the conviction that God's word is true. Things that are not seen. We haven't seen everything that God shares with us in the Word of God. We have not we don't have all the understanding yet, but when we put it into practice, then we can see and we prove the Word of God that these things can come to fruition, just like God says. And so all of this is when we have faith and we are really trusting God, we don't know everything that's ahead of us. In fact, often very little. We're taking a step without really knowing what's below. But we believe God has put something there for us. And that's how we're to live as Christians. That's what he wants us to do, is to take him by faith. In 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world." And then it says there, even our faith. And so it's really, it's talking about the very fact that we have got victory, or we have overcome these things. It was because of our persuasion in the Word of God. We believed what the Bible said. I was persuaded that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I understood and was persuaded that I was a sinner. That didn't take a whole lot of persuasion, by the way. I kind of knew that pretty quick. But the persuasion came in me putting my faith and trust, or being persuaded that Christ died, and that was enough. Nothing else had to happen if I just believed that. And because of that, that faith enabled me to take God at his word. And when I got saved, that's exactly what I did. And I'm afraid sometimes, and this is evident in my life, and I'm still, and lately I've been struggling with these things and thinking about these things, is that the very faith that saved me is the same faith that God wants me to live by. The very same faith. I can trust him for salvation, but I can't trust him to take his word, take the next step and do what he says. That doesn't really make sense, but that's who we are, isn't it? That's because we got the faith to somehow we believe, we realized we were lost, we realized we need a Savior. But now, sometimes we get, even in our saved condition, we think, well, I can do it my way now. I'll go climb the mountain, I'll get up there, it'll happen, or whatever. And we leave God behind. Well, that very same faith that we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us is the same faith we need to have every single day. And we demonstrate that often by how we relate to God, how we relate to him every day. If your wife, you relate to your wife like you do to God, or some of us, myself included, I'd probably be divorced sometimes. Think about it. How often do we read our Bible? How often do we pray? How often do we spend time with God? Is that the way we do with our spouse? It's just a question to think about. But that's what God wants in our lives. He wants that relationship. And it ought to be the most vibrant relationship you have. But I know that your wife is standing at the door waiting for you when you come home. There's a difference. And so it takes a little effort on our part to open up the Word of God and to read it. It takes a little effort on our part to stop and get quiet and just get along with God and say, okay, Lord, I need to hear from you. And it's best to do your praying before, because when you're praying, then read, then you'll hear from God. See, that's kind of the best way I think it works. But either way you do it, God wants to communicate with you. And so to live a life that's much different than the world, we have to have God's leading. It really requires that we're willing to take and walk down the narrow path. That's hard to do today in the society we live. First off, if we're not in the Word of God, we don't even know what the narrow path looks like. And if we really, in the society we live in, there's not a lot of examples of the narrow path. The church as a whole today doesn't even walk the narrow way. They're in the broad way. Maybe they're walking a little bit away from the lines of the broad way. I don't know. But if you look at them, they look like everybody else. There's no difference at all. The way they talk, the things they do, where they go, the activities they allow themselves to do. That is not Christianity in the sense that we are walking or following Jesus Christ. Now, we can ask ourselves, and maybe I'm foolish to even think this way, but if Jesus were here today, would he want to go bowling? Would that be something on his mind? If Jesus were here today, you think he'd want to open up his computer and sit on his computer and watch the internet or do all this stuff all day? I don't think so. I think his focus is on one thing. What was it? That's right. And so I see my failure when I see Jesus. I see how far I am from Jesus because there's so many things that have got my attention, got my money, and got my time that I really am not walking the narrow way. I find myself in the broad path often. And that's where we as Christians stumble because we've come accustomed to it, and you get so accustomed to it that it becomes who you are. It's like the example of the pig farm, which I've shared many times. And why is that such a strong example for me is because it was a strong smell. I remember walking out in Indiana in my brother-in-law's house. He had a pig. And I remember getting out of the car, and all of a sudden, this whiff of whatever waffled up and just went up to my nostrils. And I went, whoa, what's that? And I realized that's his pig that's over down on the hill. Now, if I was to talk to Donnie about that, he would say, what smell? What are you talking about? Why? Because he's used to it. He lives with the pig every day. And that's what happens to us in Christianity. Instead of looking to the Lord and trusting Him, we've allowed ourselves to trust ourselves, and we're living in the pig farm. We don't see the difference anymore. We don't know what it is to really be a Christian. That's why it's so important to study and really look at the Word of God and say, see what it says. Because if we are the ones who God uses, those that are filled with the Spirit, and we're not filled with the Spirit if we're not walking with God closely, if God wants to use us to draw other men to Him, and that's what He does, the Spirit don't just waffle down in the sky and come on somebody and say, hey, you need to get saved. It doesn't work that way, does it? The Spirit draws them, but who's the messenger? We are. And if we don't have the filling of the Spirit, we're not going to send the right message. You ever have your computer slow down, your internet? It drives me crazy. I'm sitting there looking going, TDS, they're so slow. I want to go to this other place, but I know that it may not be any good either. I don't know what to do. But it drives you nuts. Well, that's the way it is in our Christian life, is that we allow so many things to take place of what God wants us to do that our Christianity or our spirituality is slowing down. And we have a hard time being focused on the things of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if we demonstrate our faith by reading the Word of God, by praying to God, by telling others about Jesus, by allowing the Word of God to change our lives, and we're not, then what does that tell us? We're not pleasing God because we don't have the faith to trust God in those things, in those areas. The same verse, he says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so there's a two-part there. You have to believe that God is God, but also you have to diligently seek him. That's how we please God. And that's what God has given us the faith through Jesus Christ to be able to accomplish in our lives, that we can have that persuasion, if you will, that God is who he says he is. And we have that persuasion, that faith to seek him on a regular basis. And without that, he says we cannot please him. You know, one of the reasons we don't live for Christ is that we don't have that faith. We are not of the persuasion that our minds can be renewed. It's easy to get a mindset, is it not? And get stuck on that. I mean, for instance, let me just give you an example. I was reading an article in the news about a song. One of my favorite songs when I was lost. And if I told you what it was, you might know it. And if you get stuck like me, you'll end up singing it all the time when you come around. I mean, different things trigger it. I kid you not. Lately, it's been triggering just different things. But anyway, the point is that I haven't completely renewed my mind. I thought I did. But just that one time looking at that article has put it back up here, And I have to force myself and ask God to give me the power to just get it out of my head, or it's going to be popping up. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to renew our mind. That is, have it transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So without faith, we're not going to be able to renew our minds. We're not going to be able to have our lives changed. We're not going to be able to walk a different way that is opposite of the world. Our strength to do these things we will not have, because Christ will not be guiding and directing us. We'll be doing the driving. We'll be the ones who are in charge. And through all of that, we'll never have the victory in this lifetime. Now, you are going to have the victory if you're saved and a born-again Christian. I know that. But if you could taste that victory today, wouldn't that be so sweet? And I believe, personally, it would be so sweet that it would start driving your thinking, that you would really get serious about what is important in this life. This life is not very long. Not long at all. And I know I'm going to stand before God, and He's going to say, "Why didn't you?" And I'm going to say, "I should have." Because that's the only answer I'm going to have. Because I didn't. And He wants to do something. And so if we want victory over this life, that is victory over sin, we need to have victory over our thought life. We need to have victory over our bad habits. We need to have victory over our finances. Whose money is it anyway? Well, why do we spend it like it's ours? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm stepping on my own. I'm telling you, I'm coming to realize some things. It's a little late, and I wish I would have really started practicing some things a lot earlier. But we're not going to have victory over the worldly practices, and you can go on and on with that. There's so many different areas that we will never have victory over because we're not willing to live by faith. And that's what the Christian life is all about. In Hebrews 11, 1, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," or the confidence in the things you can't even see. I want to challenge you tonight to think about these things. And I understand that you're going to get up and you're going to go out of here and you'll go home and maybe you'll get a snack. Maybe not. I don't know. Whatever you need. And then you may, like I do so many times, just fall right back into my old way of thinking and doing what I normally do and not even think about what was said in church or any of that. Just go and not even. And the whole week, I'll come back and the pastor say, "Did you do anything last week? Were you challenged? Did you take something from the service? Did you do anything?" And if I asked you point blank, if you're like me, you might have to say, "No." And the truth be, I didn't even think about it. That's where we're missing out on Christianity. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even the dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints and marrows and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it wants to do something in our lives. But we have to let it. And it's our choosing to do that. A loving God has given me a choice. Do I do anything with it, or do I just leave it where it is and go off and come back next week, and we can try again? Let's do something for God. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word. We pray you just continue to guide and direct our lives. Help me, Father, for these messages are for me. If nobody else gets anything out of this, I know you meant it for me, and I pray you guide and direct my life. There are some folks in here that they've got the victory. Maybe they're walking close to you right now. They don't struggle with these things, but I do. And I just ask you to help me. Help us all. In Jesus' name, amen.